That's right. The time has arrived. We are relatively ready to talk about this episode. The space is AfterBuzz TV. The dimension is this one. I did my best. Let's talk about Doctor Who, Season 10, Episode 1, The Pilot.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, Whovians! Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for the Doctor Who After Show. Oh, it feels good to be back. And I don't mean like that one-off like that we've done two years in a row for Christmas specials. Yeah. Like, we're really back for Doctor Who. And it feels like the Doctor is back. Guys, I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, and I have assembled a panel of people to talk about tonight's episode. Back, as always, Tari Miller!
Hello, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's T-A-R-I-J-A-Y.
Oh, it's me now.
joining us this
Who
season
are you?
As a regular panelist will be Dave Child.
Hi. My name's Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild on Twitter, or DaveChild.com, or Mr. Dave Child anywhere else. My name's Dave Child. Good to meet you.
And she was a fill-in for us during Season 9, but now she's joining us, going to be joining us every week.
Yes.
Miss Adrienne Snow.
I don't have that type of pep, you guys. Hi.
Just say your name over and over again.
My name's Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow, MsAdrienneSnow.
Perfect.
All right, guys. It is time to talk about Doctor Who, and it feels really good because this is the most positive I've been on a Doctor Who After Show in, like, two seasons.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
I want to know what your guys' overall thoughts were on this episode, but that's, like, that's my, like, one-liner is, like, this is, I just feel, I was nervous going into this season.
Mm. Yeah.
This has calmed my nerves about it. I am now very excited. For this season of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like it has a different energy, and even the Doctor himself has a lighter tone to him, which I've really been wanting. I wanted a lighter Doctor who can kind of, like, juggle around, especially, like, Capaldi can handle the deeper stuff, but I do like seeing him smile every so often.
Yeah, I think there was a reason why it was called Pilot besides the pilot plot. I think it has this feeling of, we're starting over.
Yeah.
We're, like, diving into this. If this is your first Doctor Who, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to know what's going on. There's going to be kind of a few nods and winks towards the fans. But this is, like, we're diving in from beginning. We're kind of establishing stuff. And it feels good. It feels like we're in this lively world. And I like all the new characters. I can't wait to hear more about it.
Adrienne, what do you think?
I loved it, and I have been in the same boat for the past 2.5 years.
I wonder why 2.5. I wonder what thing you could be pointing at.
Seasons. But no, I really loved this episode. I loved all the. You can tell that this is a wrap up season, which I have an appreciation and a sadness for wrap up seasons. Mm. You know that this is the exit season for Peter Capaldi and the exit season for Moffat, which some people are, like, really happy about, and some people are kind of like, really sad about. But
bittersweet, I think,
bittersweet.
Is the
right so tone. He likes to throw in all that classic stuff, which I appreciate, because some of that goes completely over my head, so it's like an Easter egg for me.
And this felt like a lot, like, to both of your points, like. Yeah. Dave, you're saying, like, it feels like it's like a repiloting of the show. And it echoes, I think, so many aspects of the times that this show has been piloted. Like, the very
rebooted.
It feels like there are elements of the actual pilot, like, way back in 63, because we're dealing with a school, again, as a center point for where he is established and where his companion comes from. It has, like, images of, like, both that and Rose, the 2005 pilot. We started out from the companion's perspective as opposed to the Doctor's.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, when Matt Smith came on, his first episode, we started from his perspective. We started with him flying through the sky and crashing. And then Amy came into it.
Yeah.
But we started with Bill.
Bill is our focal point for this, as opposed to the Doctor, which I think is the stronger way to tell these stories. The Doctor is a force that just like keeps moving.
Yeah, you can't really get the Doctor's point of view ever, really. You can get a glimpse into it, but the whole point of the Doctor is he's kind of multitudes in a lot of ways, like in his point of view, but also in his intellect. We don't always know what he's thinking. He's always ahead of us, and we're always like kind of running behind him to catch up to what he's thinking. So having a show from his point of view is tough. When you're having it from the point of view of the human that's in his life, that's obviously who we are, so we can identify with it more.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They're our surrogate, essentially. Like, they speak for the audience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, now that you brought up how much this harkened back to, like, the original pilots, like, this to me felt like the original introduction of Rose. Like, this girl who's kind of doing not a lot.
She sells chips.
She sells chips. and she kind of just stumbles on to the Doctor and kind of just, dives into his world.
Yeah.
You know? And instead of it being plastic, it's water, but there's still a melty aspect of it.
Yeah. There's still an Alex Mack in this one.
Of course.
I think it was evil Alex Mack finally resurfaced and, you know.
Let's talk about Bill, because Bill has been the sort of like Bill's the big change to the show, because it's still Stephen Moffat running this show,
this last
and
season.
Yes, it's his final season, but it's the same guy that's been writing for this show since 2005 and running it since
2008 or 2009,
whenever Matt's since season 5, and now we're in season 10. This is fifth season.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a long run for Moffat.
Yeah.
So this is the end of like a big era in Doctor Who's history. Mm-hmm. Whether you love or hate Stephen Moffat, he has been one of the main voices of this show since its re-inception.
Yeah. Since we're talking about Moffat, this is my biggest critique of Moffat. And I think why this episode is really good, but I'm still holding off that the season's going to be great, because his biggest problem are the storylines that carry over to different episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's really good with one-offs. His one-offs are the best. Mm-hmm. His one-offs are much better than Russell T. Davis's. He's like, you know, he's Blink. He's the one from last season where he's like stuck in the time, he's stuck in the prison, stuck in the castle.
Yeah.
All that stuff is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And it's when he does the follow-through of whatever he's like setting up. Mm-hmm. That's where it tends to drop off for me.
Yeah. See, well, was Davey's strength was being able to do the arcs, but he was very bad at the one-offs.
That's interesting, because like I sort of disagree. I agree with you in the last couple seasons. That has been his problem.
Right, but as like a showrunner is
what
I'm saying.
But the arc of like the silence for me is like my favorite Doctor Who serialization arc.
I think he writes for River Song. I think he wrote for River Song and for Amy Pond very well.
Right.
And I think he just kind of lost his footing with Clara, because I think he was just trying to make her too much.
Look, Moffat had this insatiable crush on Jenna Coleman that like he couldn't let her go.
Mm-hmm. And she was his Tippi Hedren or something.
I've been like not shy about the fact that I think Clara way overstayed her welcome.
Yeah.
As much as like the 50th anniversary is still one of my favorite all-time episodes of Doctor Who, and she's great in it. That one thing aside, I wish that she had closed her arc with the Impossible Girl, because I loved her arc there, but it's after that she just like everything was a little too Deus Ex Machina, or we had to force her into situations to keep her around. Mm-hmm. She overstayed her welcome for me. Even when she was good, it hurt the show as a whole.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All I wanted was a season of Peter Capaldi Doctor and River Song. Like, that's all I wanted in life.
That
would have
been cool.
Would have been really good.
And I didn't get it. Yeah.
And, fine. Like, the chat, like, which thank you guys who are joining us live. And, like Florence Flowers, like, I'm tired of all the Clara hate. Oh, my God. And, like, people do like
I like her. I like her. I think that, like, the faults that happened is just where she fits into the storyline. I think they did actually have a really strong character and actress. Mm-hmm. And she was from the beginning, I really liked – I was intrigued by her. I liked her point of view. Mm-hmm. I liked how she was one of the first companions that were kind of like it just felt like she was – I believed her when she's like, let's go on adventures. Like mm-hmm. it felt like yes. that was her – and it was nice to have a companion who wasn't just like, I don't understand anything that's going on. That she really liked going on adventures. It's just hard to fit her into storylines. And also she's so – you kind of wanted to fall in love with her, which means that she had the same problem as like, is she like Rose? Is she like these other characters? Is there something of a love interest there? Is there no- –
It's nothing against Jenna Coleman or even the character. It's just like we had so much of her that the show needed to evolve.
Right.
And that's why – and so like bringing it back to Bill. This episode. To Bill, this is the first time since Capaldi – especially since Capaldi's run that the show feels like it is evolving and it is changing, which is what makes Doctor Who Doctor Who is that it is constantly changing the type of show that it is. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think of – other than just comparing her old companions, what did you guys think of Bill?
I loved Bill. I thought she was savvy. And yeah, they make references to like old companions, but like as a standalone, I thought she was really interesting. And I also thought they were setting her up. I think I went back and I watched the first introduction episodes like of Amy and Clara to the TARDIS and all that kind of stuff. And you can see that they are definitely putting references in from their first introductions into Bill's. But it seems like they're setting her up to be in some way related to the Doctor. That was something that I was like, is she related to the Doctor? Like, why is this picture of Susan up there? Like,
so
why does he
prominent.
Look at the picture of Susan when he looks at her? Why is the picture of River right next to him?
I like, got so excited by the picture of Susan there.
Yeah.
Because of all the time we spent at Coal Hill... Like, mm-hmm. and that because, like, Ian's name, like, Ian was one of the
original companions.
For anyone who's not familiar with Susan, Susan is the companion, one of the three companions from William Hartnell, the first Doctor. Mm-hmm. And she is also, this feels weird to modern canon, she's his granddaughter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
It's like the idea of the Doctor with actual family to people who just have only watched the modern Who are like, wait, I don't understand.
Right.
But like but Carol Ann Ford, who played Susan, is still alive. She's still acting a little bit here and there. Capaldi has said he wants her on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
I mean, even the name of Bill is kind of a reference to William and to I think one of the other doctors who just recently died. I think they made that kind of like a potential.
And
reference.
It's more so because Bill for William and then. William Hartnell's wife and also his daughter were
both
named Heather.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that any like question of whether it was a reference, it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think if they're not setting up that they're literally related, which I doubt they are, I think they're setting up a tone. They're setting up the tone of more of a paternal feeling and more of a you know, teacher-student vibe, which does feel very, you know, paternal in its way. And I love that, and I think it's really needed. I also love that Bill feels like a developed character and a real character, which, not to go
with
back to Clara.
With her own life outside of the Doctor.
Yeah, Clara's a little bit of a cartoon character. I enjoyed that cartoon character, but she was very much like... adventure, like show me what that is. And she's like a grounded, real person that I feel like she could walk out of this and go on to any of the other BBC shows, and it feels like she would fit.
Well, whenever they give the companions an actual backstory, you can just see like their family and kind of see that. I think that always makes for just like a better overall show for the audience because then we have investments in the actual companion as much as we do the Doctor. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And going back to the paternal relationship, I really liked the way that they set that up, and especially because we know that she is an LGBT character, so they're basically going, this will never be a romantic relationship.
Right.
This is definitely going to be like a mentor-student thing, and they're going to be able to have that type of relationship, which I really enjoy because I'm not a big fan of like companion doctor relationship.
I liked Rose and that was it. I was like, if you do it again, I'm gonna be pissed.
I like the arc that they did with Tennant and like his three companions, where it was the romantic, like here's a romance, and then the rebound, and then the friend.
Exactly.
That was a perfect lineup. Yeah. You don't need to touch that again.
They
and
tried
River
it a
Song
with Amy,
was
and I was
a great
like,
romance.
Exactly.
And that was more for Amy's side than it was for the Doctor. And that's why I was okay with it.
Yeah,
but even that, even the Amy thing, I had a feeling like they were kind of stumbling around the fact that they had a gorgeous companion and a kind of sexy, like, young doctor.
Yeah,
so they were kind of like, oh, they have to have some chemistry at some point. And it wasn't until Rory kind of became more a part of it.
That it's also just like... Yeah. That's still River Song's mom, dude. He like he kissed his wife's mom. Let's just like never forget.
Like, hey, sometimes it just happens, you know?
But yeah, sometimes it just
sometimes
it never does. That's not weird. That's a thing that happens sometimes.
Anyway. I'll be honest, like I think I talked about this when we've talked about the trailer. I know I've talked about it on other shows. Like the early stuff that I saw for Bill did not excite me because they wanted us to get excited with like they the gave trailers. Us nothing about her except that she was sort of like sassy or like sarcastic with him and I'm like I need more, I need something new, and I felt like I got it, like this is not somebody who is necessarily, at least so far, like they're not trying to make her better than the Doctor in any way, that she has like Rose had like more heart than the Doctor. Yeah. And Clara was supposed to be as smart as the Doctor.
Right.
And Amy was supposed to be like more badass than the Doctor. I think for Bill, it's just like she is there to, like the guest says, she's the student. She's there to learn. And that sort of relationship is something different.
Yeah.
And that's why this felt fresh, because nothing. And I think the balance between with her and Nardal is so much fun.
Yeah.
Because the two companion balance is the sweet spot for Doctor Who. The strongest arcs of Doctor Who have always had two companions.
Rose and Captain Jack and Rose and Amy and Rory. Those are always fun.
Even Mickey and Rose, like when they were all
Mickey
together.
And Rose. Yeah. He was only there for like two. Poor Mickey. He was only there for like three or four episodes, and then
But he finally got with Martha, so that was nice.
I was kind of like, really, y'all got the two black people together.
You ain't got to tell. I know.
Okay, wasn't she engaged to a doctor? Sorry, but I was fine.
That said, I did buy them together, like post-doctor, like trauma.
See it. Yeah, post-doctor trauma.
I kind of saw the same thing too, though. I was like, oh, those two, huh? Lots in common.
Yep.
Great. Yeah.
Well, also like the only two humans like
together. Mutual friend. It's like when you're on Bumble and you have a mutual friend, you have someone to talk about.
True.
I mean, I'm never on those.
Fair enough.
Totally.
Back to Nardal that I really loved was the with his addition, you're also able to have someone comment on what's going on without sounding like the doctor was full of himself. Mm-hmm. He got to shut up, and you got to have Nardal be the one to be like, it seems like we're not getting to it as fast as possible. And then as soon as she says, oh, it's bigger on the inside, he was the one that was like, oh, she said it!
What I realized when because I watched it like twice, but is that Nardal's been with them for the past 70 plus years. Like, so that's, we've actually seen him have a companion that we will never get to see their adventures.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's crazy. I can't believe
it's a thing for comic book fodder.
That's radio plays and audiobooks.
What
and
happened
stuff.
In those 70 years? Well, hasn't he just been a professor for the past 70 years?
Well, he's been a professor, but he can also jump around. You know?
Yeah, I got the sense that he's like been there in his, like, in his perspective, maybe like a year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He just keeps, like, jumping forward.
Well, there was thing where he said, like, I made a promise to not
not travel
anymore. Yeah. And I was like, well, where is that coming from?
That's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might find out why. And
I sort of hope.
Yeah, I think we will. Sam was like, we'll never find out what's in the box.
But I also really like
the episode, guys.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the next thing is another school and another companion. It just goes a college tour. That's this whole
they call it the pilot two.
Yeah,
Doctor Who the college years. Oh, God.
Yeah,
I would watch that. but regardless. I really like Nardal because, like, we set up in The Return of Dr. Mysterio, the Christmas special this year, that Nardal is sort of taking care of the Doctor in a way. Like, he's like looking out for
River,
him.
Clara.
And they had shades of that in here when he's like talking to, when Bill is like, and him are like, Bill and the Doctor are going, having a good back and forth, and he's like, ooh, banter. He gets excited because he's like, oh, the Doctor's back.
Yeah.
the Doctor at his most Doctor.
Exactly.
He sees that Bill could be good for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think the Doctor brought, like, the Doctor or Nardal chose to bring her in as to, like, be tutored?
That's why I think she's related to him.
I don't think.
No, I mean, I really, because why else would he go back and when she's talking about her mom and how she doesn't have any pictures of her mom, people are like, oh, that's just the Doctor being nice. I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like there's more to it than that. And I could be wrong.
I think she's the curiosity that she has.
Yeah.
He could be that too.
Yeah. He's seeing that she's auditing the class when she doesn't need to be auditing the class, is showing up, paying attention, and showing empathy to other students of the class, which, can we talk about that chip thing for a second? Where she noticed that someone was, that the Doctor was, did I get this right? The Doctor was perving on another.
No. Because that's what I thought at first, too.
And then so, you saw it again?
Wait, what are you talking about?
He's talking about when she's like.
The fattening.
Well, I saw
the
fattening.
Which was like, a weird thing.
Yeah, that was weird. She's like, oh, I saw this girl and she looks like a model. And then, you know, you see her and you perv. And.
But she said, you've been perving on her because you've been making eye contact.
But that actually wasn't what she was saying. She's talking about herself.
She's been perving on herself.
Did she go, like, you know when you've been, like, as in, like...
She didn't say it like that. I don't know. I think it's some weird, like...
Right, that makes more sense, that she was perving
British
on her, so she kept giving her chips.
Yeah.
And because she kept giving her chips, she ended up making her fat. Mm. I thought she was... I was totally wrong. Let me go into my head for a second. I thought she was like...
Talking about the Doctor.
Yeah, I thought it was like, you kept perving on this girl, so I made her fat, so you weren't attracted to her anymore.
Yeah,
and I was like, what the hell?
That.
That was like, that's, for one thing, fat people... beautiful.
Everybody in the chat, welcome, Dave.
Hi. You'll get a lot of this year. Anyways, that was the fattening for me. But anyways, what he saw was that she is curious, is coming, is scrappy, is also doing something she shouldn't be doing, but also to improve herself. She's committed. Mm-hmm. She keeps coming to class. And he's always intrigued when he sees people that are like that. And he just has that soft spot for the curious cats and the curious humans.
That's true.
I think he also sees that she has a...
I wanted to be related. But whatever.
I think you feel... or at least I feel like he sees that she has a thirst for more. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, always what he looks for in a companion, is someone who's trying to, like, broaden their mind, and he wants to be the one to do that, which is a weirdly arrogant thing. But, like...
The Doctor's incredibly arrogant.
Well, of course.
He did actually comment on the fact that he's arrogant. He's like, well, yeah, I pretend I know everything because I actually don't know everything. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. I mean, that was my point. That was it. That's it. Guys, she's so curious. Guys, she's so cool. She's fattening people up. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, that was...
That's weird.
I really like that.
I like it as soon as you explained it to me, but what I thought it was trying to fatten her up.
It spoke a lot about her character.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, like, she just kind of rambles, which I appreciate people who ramble because I ramble, but I didn't necessarily appreciate the joke.
Like, sort of, like, light fat shaming thing.
I was like, when she said that, I was kind of like...
I don't know if she was fat shaming
her, I don't think she was.
Though. I think she was more saying that, like... It's kind of how life is, where, you know, sometimes you're trying to do so... Oh, my gosh. Is this the, like, thesis statement for the whole season?
Could be.
Where sometimes you're trying to do something for someone so much that it ends up doing damage to them, or it ends up changing who they are.
Yeah, that's
or
like the story.
Or fattens
of...
them up until they're even more beautiful, because fat people are beautiful.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, it's the story of Doctor Who right there.
I'm not going to lie. If it's that girl that winked at her... cute.
Yeah,
that
she was pretty cute. She was cute. I'm glad that we saw her too, and she was cute.
Oh yeah.
So it wasn't just like, oh
my gosh, is she Jabba the Hutt now?
What's happening? All right, I need to regain control here.
Jabba the Hutt, am I right, guys?
Yeah.
that.
I appreciated that. all right. Let's go from Bill and let's talk about like the main like the monster of the week or the plot right. line from this episode. Which
did we get a name for
them? I just have in my notes just called The Puddle.
Yeah,
Heather and the Puddle.
You can get a name for that.
Yeah. I really liked it, it was very simple.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a very complex monster or anything like that, but it hit all the right notes for me. It had enough emotion to it. It had enough, like, intrigue, and then a good, I liked the twist.
It's a love story, too. It was like a simple love story, which a lot of the one-offs, they stand alone really well. Because it was a one story, and we keep talking about the fattening chip thing, but that it did actually establish that she's looking for love and she's willing to like to reach out and find people. Mm. And when she sees Heather, it's very there's an instant connection. We know that there's an instant connection, and we kind of want them to get together. We want her to find love.
Yeah,
And that's what ends up happening, and the whole story ends up being about love, but in a very tragic way.
And it also kind of reflected, because the doctor that we're seeing has essentially, I mean, years ago, lost River. Like, that's where he's kind of been for the past 100 years. Mm-hmm. It's just like, River's dead, and I'm dealing with that, and I'm in grief. And so it was nice to kind of have that kind of mirror just a little bit of like Bill, like, well, am I ever going to see this woman again? Like, is she out there? Can we find her? So I appreciated that aspect as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
It was very interesting to see like the relationship develop there. Mm-hmm. I liked the little they didn't have to like overly hype it. I might have liked a little more of their connection, but I didn't necessarily need it. Heather and Bill, like the connection, like the moment in the bar, like I felt like that sort of implied that there was more that night than they showed us. Mm-hmm. It might have strengthened it to show a little more. But
to me, the fact that they didn't show it was intriguing because we're all trying to figure out who the monster is and where the monster is, and we all have watched this show enough that we don't always. It's not always the puddle. You know, it's not always the scary puddle. It's sometimes the beautiful woman with the weird eye. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, the fact that she had a star in her eye made me go like, ooh, she probably has an actual galaxy in her eye. And that's know, and that's...
I have the same the feeling. Galaxy
is when I saw the star, I was like, there's alien. A star in her eye. I immediately went like, is she like one of those Daleks with the eye in the...
right.
Like, I was like, what is she? I thought she was already something... alien.
And because of that, because she seems alien in the beginning, it makes the whole like episode more intriguing because we want Bill to find love. We don't know if she is love. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if she's going to be the monster of the week or she's going to be a love interest. So in the end, when she's taken by the monster of the week and it turns out she was the love interest the entire time, and the whole reason this monster has been following her is because of a last promise and love, it makes it so much powerful. But the fact that we only find that out at the end makes it even more gripping. Because if we thought they were in love early on, like if we thought Heather was in love with Bill early on, it wouldn't be as like suspenseful of of an episode.
Right. It's fair.
Yeah.
It's a fair point. I mean, I like the idea that it's a liquid spaceship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a super intelligent liquid spaceship.
And that it's an oil spot. It's like what's left over when you drive away.
Just intelligent and oil. Yeah. Right. I just was like, well, I need a ship to be a part of. So this person looks like they want to go away. I'll take them.
It's sort of like the this is a weird analogy. It's sort of like the spaceship equivalent of an octopus. Because an octopus, technically, its brain is found throughout its entire body.
Mm. Interesting.
Or at least according to some study I read recently.
Right.
Okay. So that technically there's whatever, if you chop off a part, the brain is technically in there. Not that it can function on its own, but imagine if it could.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Imagine if it was like a starfish that could like grow back and do its thing.
One thing I wanted to ask about the ship, it felt, and I'm casting this out to the chat too, so maybe I could be wrong, but wanting to find a pilot and wanting to find a passenger, that sounded so familiar to me. Like, it sounds like it's a previous episode.
The voice even sounded familiar.
Right. It's like, it feels like there's an episode of needing to find a pilot and needing to find a passenger, that it's almost like a
oh my god, I feel like that's like Tenet years, and it's been a
mess. Yeah, I mean, it reminds me, and they kind of gave a little bit of word mouth service, lip service to it. The episode,
word mouth service lip,
word mouth service lip service. to the episodes with the ship that was repairing itself with humans. Which is what it felt like to me.
It's also, because I was reading up on it, it's based on a never-produced episode by Douglas Adams. He wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy called Shada. And they used a lot of the aspects that he had from that, including, like, even the end with the dialects, like the people that they're fighting, they're called Molvins or Molvins or something like that. So they... If we've seen it before, it could be because it, you know, Douglas Adams did write for Doctor Who for a while, and a lot of those aspects have probably been reused since.
Could just be a Flight of the Navigator that I'm thinking of too.
Well, the chat is saying the Lodger.
The Lodger, yeah,
which is the when there's the false upstairs,
right?
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking of.
And it probably is a similar voice because they probably have a similar. Voice actor.
Right. Okay, cool.
I think the guy who does the dialect voice does a few of the other voices.
So that's probably why it's like feeling familiar to us. But I don't think that it is within the universe connected. And like the people in the chat were saying, like
it could be
because we don't know what the ship actually was.
That's fair.
We just saw the oil.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Like, or we won't.
Or we won't.
Because, look, positivity aside, it's still Moffat.
True.
Like, we might just not.
But actually, you know, sometimes he'll drop stuff. Like, I was watching The Library this week, and he dropped a casual reference about the silence way back then. I remember being like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing about the silence way back then and not catching up till, what, a decade later.
Yeah.
So
he does thread, like, that's the thing. Like, he does thread things, like, deep in there.
Yeah. That happened with the doctor's wife, where before she leaves, she's like, there's no word for river. Remember that. And then later, that becomes a thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about, like, some of the, like, speaking of arcs, like, there's some threads that are very clearly laid in this, especially the vault.
Which that is Time Lord technology, correct?
Yeah, there were Time Lord symbols on the door.
Yeah, it's Gallifreyan. Yeah,
But like, so he thinks that the alien that's there is like, he's immediately like, we have to protect the what's in the vault, whatever's in the vault.
Is that like the prison from the Pandorica? Because wasn't that also that was also Time Lord technology, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
There was one. Yeah.
But that, like, I guess,
Maybe I'm thinking,
Well, the Pandorica was Time Lord technology.
And then there was the other one with Tenet, where they locked all the Daleks, and it was also Time Lord technology.
Right.
So
right.
A lot of Time Lord technology.
Because the two key pieces of Time Lord technology are freezing space, or cramming a lot of space into a small point, or freezing time. In a way, like the Pandorica froze time within the box. The TARDIS crams a lot more like space into a smaller area. It's a pocket dimension.
Yeah, I was like transdimensional. I just watched that stupid clip from the 70s where the Doctor explains how the TARDIS works.
Ryan Wittallison is saying the Pandorica wasn't Time Lords.
Okay, so I'm just thinking of the Tenet one where it's the when they have to have. Rose's handprint to open up.
Yeah. Oh, right. The Pandorica was like all of his
enemies coming together,
like
to create
a prison for the Doctor.
Yeah, there
it's
we go.
Been a while since I've watched that episode.
Yeah.
But yes, we got there.
Yeah, we figured it out.
There. But so, what do you guys think? And I'll pose it to the chat as well. What do you guys think could be in the vault?
That's just
what thing is he protecting?
The choices are so massive right now.
Yeah.
I demand predictions.
Well, the thing,
why do you wait for predictions?
Unfounded predictions.
So, okay, so I'll say one. No. So John Sem, who played the Master during the Tenet years, is coming back. He was seen in the previews. So I'm not spoiling anything. He's like the last face of the previews is him as the Master. So I kind of think he's, I don't know, it could be the Master. Could be that version of the Master. Mm. It could be something, because a lot of the times he'll be holding stuff away that, like, has a bunch of bad Time Lords in it. Because wasn't that, that was a thing with David Tennant as well. Ended up being, like, the Master was, like, stopping the Time Lords from returning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. It gets really convoluted sometimes.
Doctor Who convoluted?
Never.
Never.
Real straightforward.
I'm trying to think of, like, what themes they're kind of starting to establish and how that might lean towards what is actually in the vault. Mm. And we've been talking about how we're establishing him being a paternal figure mm-hmm. of some sort. So maybe it's like a bunch of Time Lord eggs or like
eggs?
I don't know. Like what I'm saying is
from
like
the farm.
Some, yeah. From the Time Lord farm. I'm saying it like could be a kid or some or a spawn or it could be his kid. Mm. Something along the lines like maybe there's something there. He's had a kid before. Like
he spent 24 years with River.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
So maybe it's River's frozen eggs inside the vault.
Her kid. And then if you think about it, they made a reference to like when River was born and she has her bassinet or whatever that thing's called.
Yeah.
And she recognized it and he recognized it, but she's like, oh, your bassinet. Why would she recognize his bassinet unless like they've had to use it before? So
Yeah.
Going with frozen river eggs. I think that's okay. What it is.
Got it.
The chat says the Master possibly, not necessarily Missy.
Not Missy.
So,
because they're supposedly gonna see each other.
Right.
That was really cool.
Regina says lots of references to the old series and Susan, mm-hmm. so maybe the vault has something to do with that.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's true.
Going by Dave's logic, mm-hmm. checking out the clues that have been dropped so far, I'm going to guess that he's been storing up chips to feed to a bad guy.
And fatten them up?
Yeah.
And fatten them
Just so they, they'll slow them down just enough to like...
That explains that there is one episode called The Fattening. That happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like episode 4 or 5.
Episode 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It's not a real thing.
It's not a real thing.
I'm sorry. That's what I saw.
Totally. Me too.
I think you're just talking about the adipose episode.
You know? Like, so, like, it's a really threatening exactly monster. They feed it chips, and it's like, you know what? Thank you. I'm going to leave now.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
I got a lot of sodium.
I'm going to go for a run.
Yeah. Need to work these carbs out.
I think it's... Like, I'm still a little, to be honest, a little, like, confused about where exactly Gallifrey is in the universe right now.
Yeah.
Like,
isn't it at the end of the universe?
Something like that. Yeah. It's very confusing. Because it's like, it is back in this universe, but, like, sort of not really. Like,
that was the most disappointing part of last season.
Like, we got teased with Gallifrey, and it's, like, not really
there. They didn't handle
Gallifrey well. So, I would... My first instinct is to think that it's somehow a portal of one kind, a doorway, mm-hmm. or it's just a pocket dimension that has all of Gallifrey in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some crazy thing that somehow that door goes to Gallifrey. I like the Master idea.
Mm-hmm.
Another TARDIS or something.
All of the Daleks? I don't know.
Does Moffat not really... I guess Moffat... I know he likes Daleks, but he like... doesn't use them nearly as much as Russell T. Davies used them.
It's one of those things. It's like the Joker and Batman. You don't want to overuse them.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to like spread the love a little bit.
They're just no longer the big bads, really. Yeah. Like, after he made them like Power Rangers Daleks, I'm like, they're never going to be the big
bads. The Daleks?
Like, yeah. No. Like those. Yeah.
I'll say when we had Davos last season, that was a good reprise of Dalek.
That was great, but I also thought they were going to do more of them. I was kind of disappointed that it became Clara.
I agree, though. It's hard to use the Daleks now.
Yeah.
Like, he's defeated them so often that they don't feel threatening any longer.
Yeah.
It is a rare episode where the Daleks actually feel threatening.
It was nice to see them in this episode. I like how he used them as a weapon to destroy the other thing, or to see if he could destroy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was another a super deep cut, really quick, like, blink and you'll miss it reference in that, because the like, dreadlocked guys in white.
Mullivans, right?
Yeah, Mullivans, I wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
Which are from a 1979 episode.
Yeah.
Or I think they appeared several times in the 80s.
Because that was
Destiny of the Daleks.
The Douglas Adams time, too, because I think he helped create the like, basis of those aliens.
Right.
Yeah. Some people are like, did they really invest all that money in, like, makeup and costumes for 5 seconds? I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Mom, of course.
Yes,
Moffat.
I think
because he can now.
I think this season, like, just this is Moffat's last season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is really, like, this is what I've said for a while now. I think he has been holding back ideas and, like, things that he's, like, dying to do for this for this season as his, like, and look at what I have created.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else on this episode? Because I want to save some of these for predictions in case anyone's, like, not to watch too much ahead.
Oh, no, I really loved that he had all his sonic screwdrivers. I thought that was really
good.
Yes.
Yeah. That was nice. And he threw like, was that 5 Sonic to Nardole
at
one point.
Red Tip, I don't even know, man.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. It was. Mm-hmm. I like that establishing the office thing. The one thing I want to say when you bring up the Moffat thing is the thing from last season that I love the Davos stuff, but I did not like the reveal. Like, I didn't like how they were like, my name is Davos. And then, like, looked at the camera, and then it went to the titles, because I was like, I don't know who that is.
Oh.
I don't
know. You never seen Davos before?
Well,
a brief tenant. He had a tenant moment.
Yeah, he did, but it's been a while. It's been a moment. And there's, the one thing I don't like about Moffat is he is a deep cut nerd, and he often references stuff that is just, he uses it as a bump, bump, bump.
See, I love
and
that.
It's like,
and
no,
I just go,
but we don't know who that is.
I get what you're saying, though, because there are fans who wouldn't, and that beat is, because it's so important to the episode, is lost on some viewers, as opposed to, like, more Easter eggs in this one. If you look around his office, not only do you have the Sonics and
That's
Susan
great.
And River, you have, there's a bust of Beethoven, there's a bust of William Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I didn't see this, but I saw somebody post about it. The stained glass in the background has Robin of Locksley on
right.
it. Like, there's just, like, all these people that he's known, he's, like, decorated his space with.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
Those
I
are
love
great
the Easter eggs.
Easter eggs.
Yeah.
But you're right, that Moffat can be a little heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, I think this season is going to have a ton of those moments.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to be a balance.
This season is going to be a lot for people who have been watching Moffat and Davies, like people, the first series and the old series people. It's going to be for them, and it's also Capaldi's last round, so it's going to be reference heavy.
Let's sorry, Tara, go ahead.
No, I said, get your footnotes ready.
Yeah.
Get your footnotes ready.
Get them footnotes.
Which hopefully we'll be able to keep you guys up to date on as many of those as we can catch.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I got through the ones that I caught. There's probably more that, like, we just didn't or nobody has found yet.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go into some official predictions and talk about what we're looking forward to this season.
You're after Buzz.
Because I was like, before we say, like, everything that was in all the trailers, like, in case somebody was, like, trying to hold back, like, we're going to talk about all that stuff now.
Yeah.
Because, like, not just are we getting, like, why I say Moffat is, like, just, he's like, I have all these ideas of what to do with Classic Who stuff.
Yeah.
Like, not only are we getting John Sim back.
Yeah.
As the master. So there's going to be two masters running around, because we know that Missy's coming back, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, they're going to do a Cybermen story, but not with,
old
like, the modern Cybermen that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
With, like, the original Cybermen design.
Mm-hmm.
But
looks like
updated.
They just got a balaclava on
like,
their
face. Yeah, which is what they were back in the day. It was just white balaclavas with, like, fake metal all over them. But now, like, updated so that they're smooth and just, like, as if they would, like, really be designed like that.
Right.
They're so creepy looking.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for that episode, whenever that comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. what are you guys looking forward to? What are you thinking as we're going forward?
I'm really looking forward to the return of Heather, especially now that she's been exposed to a Dalek and has Dalek technology a part of her.
So you do think that she's coming back?
She has to. There's no way, especially since it is technically at this point it's Bill's arc to try to find her. She has to come back, but I definitely don't think she'll come back as a positive force.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe something that she has to kind of teach how to be human again.
I think it depends on what they decide to do with Bill at the end of the season. If they decide that she's going to be returning, then maybe she won't get her this season. Maybe she'll get her, like, two seasons from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or she might get her and then have a final goodbye.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of thing. The rumor is that Bill is not going to be returning.
Oh,
after
really?
The season. It's just a rumor that's not confirmed. Yeah. Although it does add up with everything, like with Capaldi leaving, Moffat stepping aside.
Yeah.
I think the idea is, much like Moffat had when he took over,
yeah.
to give Chris Chibnall a completely clean slate
yeah.
when he takes over.
That's true.
And I'm pretty much on board with that. Like, even as I like Bill, I think giving, for this show especially, for Doctor Who, mm-hmm. giving a new showrunner a blank slate to work with, to let yeah. him build the show in his way, mm-hmm. is the best way for the show to grow. Mm-hmm. Because it can, just the way that, like the way that Clara carried over, mm-hmm. and she just, like, it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to just, like, all the new things, all the new possibilities. But this season also just, that means that I think we're going to get a compact arc in
right.
this season. Mm-hmm. So I think Heather could come back, like, season, like, finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that could be a nice, clean, like, watch this season as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You can just yeah. experience a 13-episode, like,
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why this is called the pilot and has that feeling to it, where you can come into it kind of
yeah.
naked.
Because it was kind of that way with Tenet. Like, I started with Tenet and I skipped Eccleston.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could have done that. I'm like, oh, I understand what's going on. Sure, I'll go back and watch him. But I still understand, like, his dynamic with Rose and everything.
Yeah.
I think this season, I'm really excited to see the Doctor with a new companion. Particularly, I'm really excited to see Peter Capaldi with somebody new. Just because I think they don't allow Peter Capaldi to be as funny as Peter Capaldi can be.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about The Thick of It or In the Loop, like, he's hilarious. And he has that kind of dry wit that I felt like was vastly underused.
Right.
And yeah. I think that Bill's a good companion for that aspect. I'm always excited for John Sim. Like, I hated The Master, but I also loved The Master when he yeah. was The Master. So,
mm-hmm. And I'm excited.
And Missy's amazing, yeah. too. So I'm excited to see that dynamic as well. In terms of predictions, I mean, I still just really want Bill to be related to the Doctor.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I just think we're introducing a student teacher arc.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love Bill, and I think that what we're going to get in this compact series season is we're going to have Bill graduate by the end of it.
Hmm.
I think that this is her. Yeah. This is a whole tutorial thing, and by the end of it, she's learned enough that she's moving on from the Doctor in a way that, like,
one
she's
thing
becoming her own person.
I do yeah. like with the. I know we got to wrap up the Black companions. Is that by the end they've kind of, like, developed into, like, standalone women, and they're like, I'm doing it for myself. So I hope they do that with Bill too.
Yeah,
because that's what they did to Martha.
I think they're doing really good yeah. things, like, with Bill. I think Bill's going to be a fun companion and very. I think she has the potential to be extremely interesting.
Yeah.
and not boring. And that's exactly. the most important part of
yeah.
that character.
Companions cannot get boring.
And that is going to do it for this episode of the Doctor Who
yeah.
After Show at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you to everybody in the chat for tuning in live. You guys can check us out every week, every Sunday that the show airs. We'll be on at 8 p.m. Pacific time, because it's not Pacific Standard Time, and I'm very confused.
Pacific
time,
Daylight
guys.
Time.
Yeah, it's
oh,
it's all
right.
timey-wimey.
We'll be
yeah.
Time
wildly, you know,
has thwarted
we'll
me.
Yeah.
But check us out, 8 p.m. California time. Until next week, when we'll be talking about the episode Smile.
Oh.
With some weird emoji robots. Until then, I've been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. If you are up for something much more morose and depressing, stick around, because after this, I'm going to be talking about The Leftovers.
Yes.
and the crazy pile for the season of the last season of that show. It's nuts! Join me there with Roxy Stryer, Steve Kaufman, and Kelly McInerney. We are going to break that down.
Nice. And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's T-U-R-I-J-A-Y. That's it.
I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MRDaveChild, DaveChild.com, or wherever you find your Dave Childs. I'm Dave Child.
He's Dave Child. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrian Snow. You can also see me on The Magician's After Buzz Show on Wednesdays and the Unproduced Table Read on Fridays.
All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
See ya.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.